Good to see everybody this afternoon. We're about to get to the point where all of our fruit or all of the labor will hopefully bear some fruit with our vacation Bible school, and we certainly appreciate everybody who's had a part in that. I also want to say we appreciate all of our kiddos. They've been working towards a Bible Bowl for the end of the month. They've had a lot of study put into that, and so have a number of the adults, both the parents and the teachers combined, and we appreciate that. That's really a worthy effort and one that's worth noting and encouraging. I had a different message prepared for this afternoon, and then I sat down and this morning and started doing just some general Bible reading, like I like to do the first thing in the morning. And I looked at three separate passages or three separate parts of the Bible, and I just wanted to share them with you and just kind of think about these passages, if you would, and note how fruitful just opening the Bible up and reading it can be. It took me about 10 minutes. I just read a chapter from Genesis and another chapter from Matthew and a few chapters from the book of Psalms this morning, and each one of them seemed to have something that was very worthwhile in reading. But in Genesis chapter 6 was where I started this morning. And it talks about how the multitude of men began to become so sinful that it says every inclination of their heart was only evil all the time. Now, I think there are times we can relate to that. It seems like sometimes the things that we're exposed to and the just the amount of evil that's going on at any given point makes us think that righteousness is really having a struggle right now. But it's nothing compared to the way it was back then. As a matter of fact, there were only a handful of righteous people that found favor with God, and it started with Noah. Let's start in verse 5. It says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart." Now, I just can't imagine that, but I'm sure we've all had times in our lives, those who are old enough, to where we have been at the point where we've probably grieved God. Maybe even to the point that it grieved him that he made us, that he regretted that, as he put it within this. And it's just kind of makes you catch your breath when you think that your life can get to a point where God actually regrets having made you. And I don't think the regret is just for our evil alone. I also think the regret is because of the penalty that he knows the evil produces, both the eternal penalty, but also the penalty that evil has on other people because of the influence it has on them. But it goes on to say in verse 7, "The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I've created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heaven, for I'm sorry that I've made them." But then it says, "Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." And so you have all this bad stuff happening, and then he pauses and it says, "Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." And I find that remarkable, almost as remarkable that we can grieve God by our wickedness, but on the other hand, that we can find favor in God's eyes, that it's something that actually affects him to the point where he is pleased. He's all powerful. He can make anything. He can do anything. But we have within us the power to please him and to make him glad that he created us. It says Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. And then it explains why. Noah walked with God. And so that was the first passage I wanted to share with you. This idea that we can walk with God and therefore find favor with him. Of course, we know before Noah came along that Enoch had walked with God. We're told that after his son was born, Methuselah, that he walked with God for 300 years, and that God took him in his 365th year as a reward because he had walked with him. Now, if you would, turn over to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and just notice this part, starting in verse 19. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I don't know about you, but I've been praying for rain maybe more than I have in a while. And yet at the same time, when I see a big black thundercloud come up and they start warning us of hail, I start thinking, oh, I hope it doesn't hail and ruin all of our roofs. And the reason that I'm thinking in that way, twofold. One, we have to be responsible, and we do think about certain consequences. But the other is not as good, and that is that sometimes our treasures are here on earth, and so even in the midst of blessing, we think of bad things because we've just got our focus wrong. And the thing that I've noticed through the years is how good God is and how effective God is at blessing us. When it's time for us to be blessed, whether we're talking about having the money that you need to get by, or whether we're talking about the rain that a dry land needs, or whatever it is, the companionship that we long for, God will help us with these things as long as we're walking righteously before Him. But the moment we start getting things out of kilter and we start putting our minds more on physical things than on spiritual things, then it really makes it hard for us to get through this life, because every blessing also has within it, in our minds, a curse. Something good could happen, but boy, something bad could happen too. And so that's part of what I really noticed this morning is how important a proper perspective is. In verse 22, he said, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" And so there's that perspective. How do you see things? Obviously, we can use our eyes to sin, but also there is that implication of just how we view things in life. Do we view things through a godly prism, or do we view things all the time through a worldly prism, where everything has to have its physical connotation first before we ever even start thinking about God and what God wants? And I think that's part of it. I think that's why he talks about the light within you. I don't think he's just talking about your physical vision, though I realize fully that's part of it, and that we can misuse the physical gifts God's given to us, including our eyesight, for sinful things. But how do you view things? How is it that you walk through life in this earth that God has permitted you to stay on? And then he says in verse 22, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And of course, I believe this is the ultimate perspective he's trying to get us to think about. If our hearts are on physical things, then we will never be able to function at the spiritual level God wants us to function at. Again, we have to have physical thoughts. We live in a physical world, but we need the perspective that it is God first, and that if we have God first, He'll take care of the rest of the things. And then in Psalms, I really enjoyed looking at the Psalms this morning, and I realized I just have about 2.5 minutes left, so let me share with you the highlights. Verse 8 of Psalm 63 says, "My soul clings to you." I was thinking about that with our kids. I have a vivid memory of Charisse, who was not afraid of anything, it did not seem like. I can remember one time just walking along, and Charisse was standing on the bed at about, I don't know, 18 months, 2 years old, And I just caught out of the corner of my eye a flash, and I looked over there, and she had leaped. She just assumed that I would catch her. And fortunately, I did catch her. But this same girl who seemed to have no fear, who when we took her to kindergarten, she had broken away from her mom and was walking by herself. And the kindergarten teacher said, "Boy, there's a confident student or a confident child." This girl, when she met Miss Moo, who was somebody dressed in a cow outfit at a steak place, she was so terrified and so petrified of Miss Moo that she just grabbed my neck so strong, I thought she was going to strangle me. She was clinging to me because I was the only thing that stood between her and Miss Moo. King David, talking of God, said, "My soul clings to you." Do you rely on God to that point where you cling to Him? Or do we kind of push Him off except for when we need Him? Because that thought to me is just beautiful. In 65 verse 1 it says, "Praise is due to you, O God in Zion." At the end of verse 4, "We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple." And then for those of us who are surviving this drought time, in verse 9 it says this, and this is David, "You visit the earth and water it, you greatly enrich it, the river of God is full of water." This is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. The river of God is full of water. We may be in the worst drought that mankind has ever seen. Obviously, we're not. I know we're not. This is nothing compared to what a lot of people go through. But we could be in the worst drought that anybody's ever seen. But the river of God is full of water. Spiritually, there is never a drought with God. And that's a beautiful thing to be thinking of. And I wanted to share that with you. It took me about 10 minutes to go through these passages this morning. And yet, the comfort that it gave and the perspective that it gave are just incredible. And I was just thinking, maybe that's the type of thing that could and probably does, because you do this very thing, help you if you would take a few moments, if we would all take a few moments and walk with the Word of God. Invitation's open this afternoon. If anyone needs to respond, won't you do that while we stand and sing?